experience with French language and culture. Plus, at his height, the view must have been excellent from up there. While telling us students that we could certainly choose not to drink wine, he reminded us that wine was a point of considerable pride in France, and that by refusing to try it, we would be rejecting an important element of French culture. The same was true, he said, of various French cheeses, 365 of them, one for every day of the year. I liked cheese, but what to do about the wine? Dilemma. Why have I come on this trip with over 1,000 people, not one of whom have I ever met? I began to ask myself. As a child in New Mexico, I had heard Spanish, Navajo, Hopi, and Zuni spoken around me, and I loved learning expressions in other languages from my friends, but I had never heard French. When I was about 5 years old, my mother taught me an Americanized version of the song Frère Jacques, whose refrain, Sonne les matins, ring the bells for matin, or morning prayer, became, in our pronunciation, Sama la matina. Later, a Belgian singer in an international choir stayed with my family, and when she asked if I knew Frère Jacques and suggested that we sing it in a round, I answered excitedly, yes, of course. But when she began to sing, my jaw dropped. Other than the melody, I recognized absolutely nothing about the original song. When she sang those same words, they were so different and so beautiful. I was mesmerized. Years later, on that huge ocean liner, I reminded myself that, yes, it was all terrifying, but yes, taking this leap was the only way to immerse myself in French. As I sat at the table with that wine bottle poised above my glass, an image popped into my head. Walking from our Spartan submarine-style rooms to the deck, I had noticed tables of smartly dressed people speaking French, drinking espresso, and laughing, deep in discussion, as though they had all the time in the world. Well, we did have a lot of time, but how could they converse contentedly for so long? The same thought crossed my mind during the apéritif, before dinner drinks, later in the day. For the French on the ship, the purpose of the voyage seemed to be the pleasure of the journey and of one another's company, while most of us Americans were ticking off the days till we landed. The French had an intriguing, relaxed insouciance about them, I thought. Something we might be missing. My dilemma quickly dissolved, and I looked up at the waiter holding the bottle of wine. Oui, s'il vous plaît, I said. With that first glass of wine on the ship, little did I know that I was beginning what would turn out to be a continuing journey. Enjoying wine, to be sure, but more broadly, drinking in French culture and opening up to a new world. There is a word for it, débarquer. To land, to disembark. It also means to realize, to become aware of something. When I first arrived in Paris, those meanings coalesced. After reaching Le Havre, taking a bumpy bus ride and disembarking again into the teeming capital city, I realized that no matter what happened during the year ahead of me, monumental changes were on the horizon. The elegant women and well-dressed men all seemed so detached as they bustled by me on the sidewalk. I gazed dizzily around. How old could these impressive buildings be? Like a stargazer who suddenly realizes she is only a speck of dust in the universe, I became all too aware of my modest stature on that Parisian sidewalk. Little wonder, as I now picture myself there, a skinny, acne-ridden teenager. To make matters worse, my short skirt, all the rage in the United States at that time, looked like a little scrap of ill-fitting material next to the longer, flowing dresses of the chic, young Parisian women. My skirt drew attention only to my toothpick legs and clunky American shoes. My long, straight, blonde hair in no way looked French, and every time I tried to wear a scarf, it was as though I were either incapable of making a knot or